More news about Twitter, this time from Jack Dorsey. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 18th day of April. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. In other news, want in on the massive infrastructure work set to begin in the U.S.? We're talking steel. There are some things that have actually gone down in price this year. We have a list. Meanwhile, natural gas prices have soared. Taco Bell is bringing back a fan favorite. We'll share that news. Meanwhile, bad news for Alex Jones and InfoWars. More news about unions and Amazon. We've got the Wall Street Report. And more people say they are not, no, never, going back to work. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Hey, we hope that you had a blessed weekend holiday. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Speaking of Twitter, finally, Jack Dorsey, the co-founder of Twitter, has broken his silence regarding the dust-up about the future of the company and the takeover bid by Tesla's Elon Musk. The Associated Press is reporting that Dorsey lashed out at the microblogging platform board as, quote, consistently the dysfunction of the company, end quote. All of this as Tesla and SpaceX CEO Musk puts pressure on the board to let him acquire it for $43 billion. Dorsey, who left Twitter back in November, remains a board member until next month with his 2.2% share. The former Twitter CEO also agreed with venture capitalist Gary Tan, who posted that a badly run board can, quote, literally make $1 billion in value disappear, end quote. When another Twitter user asked Dorsey if he was allowed to speak publicly about the board, he replied, no. With a 9.2% stake, Musk is one of the largest shareholders in Twitter. Meanwhile, asset management firm Vanguard Group disclosed last week that its funds now own a 10.3% stake in Twitter, which makes it the largest shareholder. Then there is Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, who rejected Elon Musk's offer, has about a 5.2% share of Twitter. Two words? Stay tuned. If you want to take part in the massive infrastructure events about to take place, you better use steel that comes from the United States. The Associated Press is reporting that the Biden administration is taking a key step toward ensuring that federal dollars will support U.S. manufacturing, issuing requirements for how projects funded by the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package source their construction material. New guidance requires that the material purchased, whether it's for a bridge, a highway, or water pipe, or broadband internet, be produced in the U.S. However, the rule also sets up a process to waive those requirements in case there are not enough domestic producers or the material costs too much, with the goal of issuing fewer waivers over time as U.S. manufacturing capacity increases. President Biden hopes to create more jobs, ease supply chain strains, and reduce the reliance on China and other nations with interests that may diverge from America's. With inflation at a 40-year high ahead of the 2022 midterm elections, he's betting that more domestic production will ultimately reduce price pressure to blunt Republican attacks that his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package initially triggered higher prices. Speaking of higher prices, as we all know, the Consumer Price Index rose by 8.5% in March compared to the same month last year. It was the largest jump in nearly four decades. Almost every category of consumer spending was affected. Yet, there are products that have come down in price from last year. To determine the household items that are plunging in price, 24/7 Wall Street reviewed data on the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, here are the top five the top five that have been reduced in price and by just how much lower they are in cost. Video discs and other media has seen a 6.1% decrease in pricing. Telephone hardware, calculators, and other consumer information products are down by 9%. Smartphones have decreased in price by 13.5%. Now get these last two. Food at employee locations is off by 30.5%. And get this, food at elementary and secondary schools has seen a price drop of 43.5% from March 2021 to March of 2022. So yeah, at least there is that. Meanwhile, the price of natural gas has shot up to its highest point since 2008, just ahead of unseasonably cold weather. May natural gas added 52 cents or 7.1% to settle at $7.82 per million British thermal units, again, the highest price point since 2008. Well, it has been gone for nearly 2 years. What might that be? Well, CNN is reporting that Taco Bell is bringing back the Mexican pizza, a fan favorite that's been gone for some time. The menu item will permanently appear on menus beginning in May 19, as a matter of fact. Taco Bell eliminated the pizza in November of 2020 as part of a broader culling of its menus during the height of the pandemic that helped fast food chains shed complexities and costs. So, if you never had a Mexican pizza, what is it? Well, here you go. The Mexican pizza consists of a tortilla shell filled with either beans or ground beef, a pizza sauce, and is topped with another tortilla shell that's smothered with more cheese, sauce, and chopped tomatoes. Taco Bell introduced the item way back in 1985 and originally called it the Pizzazz Pizza. Now, in case you were wondering, the Mexican pizza costs $4.49, and members of Taco Bell's loyalty program can order it 2 days before its reintroduction, beginning on May 17. Well, companies tied to far-right radio host Alex Jones filed for bankruptcy in an effort to settle litigation brought by relatives of children killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre. Bloomberg is reporting that three entities, including one that holds the rights to website InfoWars, sought Chapter 11 protection. According to court filings, each estimated liabilities of as much as $10 million. Now, Chapter 11 filings allow a business to keep operating while working on a turnaround plan and pause pending civil litigation. Jones and his companies last year were found liable in a defamation lawsuit brought by relatives of Sandy Hook victims after Jones called the shootings a hoax. A trial in Connecticut to determine the size of the damages has yet to take place. By establishing a trust to settle legal claims in bankruptcy, Jones's companies are following a controversial playbook used by other corporations facing significant lawsuits. Companies including opioid maker Purdue Pharma and youth organization the Boy Scouts of America have sought Chapter 11 protection to settle thousands of cases and streamline payouts to victims claiming harm. Jones, by the way, put $725,000 of his own money into the trust to cover the costs of the Chapter 11 filings. Additional funds, including $2 million in cash, could flow into the trust as a result of the bankruptcy. Workers at a small Amazon facility in New Jersey would like to form a union. Reuters is reporting that at least 60 of 200 workers from Amazon's DNK5 depot in Bayonne, New Jersey, have submitted cards seeking to organize as part of Local 713 International Brotherhood of the Trade Union. The news follows growing interest in organizing at Amazon, which for years had resisted unions in its U.S. operations. Just last month, thousands of employees at the JFK 8 warehouse in Staten Island voted to organize under a different group known as the Amazon Labor Union. And workers at a second Staten Island warehouse are weighing later this month whether to unionize. An election date and terms have yet to be agreed upon for the delivery station DNK5. Well, it was a down day on Wall Street as the Dow floated along the flat line and at the closing bell was off by 39 points to end the session at 34,411. The NASDAQ shed 18 points to close at 13,332, while the S&P 500 was off fractionally to end the day at $43.91. Investors are bracing for a slew of earnings reports that will help them assess the impact of the war in Ukraine, as well as the inflation spike. Netflix, Tesla, Johnson & Johnson, and IBM are all scheduled to report earnings this week. And finally, there is this. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that about 3 million people who dropped out of the workforce during the pandemic say they have absolutely no plan to go back to work. The article is citing research led by Stanford University economist Nick Bloom. The survey points to what it calls long social distancing, a refusal or a reluctance to return to pre-COVID activities out of the fear of getting sick or injured as the main cause for this disruption. The phenomenon threatens to depress the labor force for years, and Bloom says it shows work participation is not going to magically bounce back anytime soon. The research team says these workforce dropouts tend to be non-college educated women in lower paying fields who may also be struggling with childcare issues. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.